Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Well, Dave, thank you very much. Oh my gosh. Where do I begin? Look, you're just going to have to face the fact that I'm in my first part of the two-part bachelorette finale doldrums here. I am so sorry, but I'm so caught up in Desiree and Brooke's drama this season, I can't even say. Thank God I have this show to divert my attention. How are you today? So glad you're joining in. Oh my gosh, Alex Snyman last week had so many listeners, I can't believe it. I'm so happy for him. He's coming to town on Thursday, and we're going to play something by him. He was just such a great guest. And look, you know who's coming today, right? Sure hope so. Steve Cole comes our way in the third and final hour of the show. So it's going to be beautifully music-packed from now until then. Oh, Lord, such a week already. Oh, don't even get me started about talking about the refrigerator, which we haven't had for 4 or 5 days now. Anyway, let's get started with this music. And as is the usual case, if we have no guest in the first hour, we start with something classic. And here we are by Freddie Hubbard from 1960, from Open Sesame, All or Nothing at All.
Thank you.
This is Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Thank you.
Imagine Michael Franks when he heard that song done by Diana Krall. Can you imagine? His song, Popsicle Toes. And whatever he does, he's got a special touch. When somebody has the chutzpah to cover one of his songs, you know that they've got the confidence, hopefully, to pull it off. And man, this from Diana's 1999, When I Look in Your Eyes. Now, you might not know how much of a splash this made. This was her fifth album. She won a couple of Grammys for this, but the very interesting thing is that the project was nominated for a Grammy in the category of Album of the Year. And this was the first time in 25 years that a jazz album had been nominated in that category. That's pretty doggone cool. Just happened to be programming Diana in the mix today. She's at the Marciac Jazz Festival in France as we speak. She's going to take a break. She's coming back to the States, and she's going to be cooking in San Diego, in case we have any listeners in that area or who can get to that area on the 20th of September, of course, in support of her new Glad Rag Doll CD. And by the way, going back to When I Look in Your Eyes, John Clayton, the dad of Gerald Clayton, but certainly in his own category forever and a day, on bass there. Just so nice. Just love John Clayton's work, as I do Diana Krall's. Amy Shook with Felicia Carter, who was sitting that one out. That was the second song in the mix, Blues in the Closet, from their joint CD, Nothing to Do, out a couple of years ago. Amy Shook, along with Bob Buda on piano and Frank Russo on drums, Donato Silveiro on guitar, and Amy looking like the goddess librarian on that upright bass. Had to play Amy because just saw a notation on her Facebook webpage the other day. Keep Amy in your prayers and good wishes, if you will. She lost a friend from back in Idaho. Her friend's name was Aaron Walker. And Aaron was, not a young woman, but not a middle-aged woman either. Just a beautiful woman who was a photographer. And I got so caught up yesterday in seeing Erin's Facebook page. She had been posting up until July 21st, and one of the later pictures of her was a shot that somebody had taken of her with a camera in her hand, and she looked absolutely radiant. And on July 25th, just like that, she was gone. She was killed in a head-on collision in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, by an 18-year-old driver who crossed the highway and came at her Toyota. She had her dog, Maisie, in the car with her, and Maisie was able to escape, and they found the dog in the woods. And Erin's mom now has her beloved pet. So, man, Amy's gone through some changes about her friend and hasn't posted for a couple of days. So I just really felt so strongly about, first of all, the fragility of life and how we can be, because Facebook is right there in front of us, or Twitter, we can be posting one day and gone the next. You know, just savor everything about your life, please. Better news, Amy is going to be part of this amazing production. The rehearsing, I take it. November is going to be the big launch of this. Maurice Hines, the brother of Gregory Hines, is going to be doing some great work in the Washington area, a tribute to those who inspired him through the years, including his late brother, Gregory. And Amy Shook is part of the Diva Orchestra, all female, that Maurice is employing to help him do this special project. I love it. So we'll keep you posted on that. Freddie Hubbard to start the set. Oh, Lord, 1960, Open Sesame. That NEA Jazz Master that we lost in 2008 did All or Nothing at All. Sam Jones on bass, Clifford Jarvis on drums, Tina Brooks on tenor sax, McCoy Tyner on piano. Freddie Hubbard, just a little bit. We always have to do the homage to the great ones. Played with Eric Dolphy, Ornette Coleman, Herbie Hancock, so many more in the 60s. Had a new life in the decade of the 1970s. And Open Sesame was his debut on Blue Note. And the Penguin Guide to Jazz called it one of the core collection pieces that you absolutely must have. Got to make sure you hear this, too, because there's a lot of folks who are into the classics, a lot of folks who are into contemporary jazz, whatever kind that you're into. Freddie Hubbard wanted to make sure that when he passed away, some part of his legacy would go to the Jazz Foundation of America. So that would be jazzfoundation.org. If you go there, you will see what they do. Here's what they did for Freddie when he was sick in a part of his life where his heart condition rendered him disabled. The Jazz Foundation of America took care of his mortgage a few times. Can you imagine that? So Freddie left some money for them when he passed away. Love to pass along that kind of good news. And we've got more. I'm going to tell you this, and I shouldn't be telling you this because I'm hoping that things work out so that I can play what I have in my possession. Steve Cole, coming up in the third hour of the show, has a new CD dropping in the next several weeks called Pulse. I've got two tracks. I didn't think I was going to be able to play them, but I think I can. So get ready for that. I'm serious. This is going to be good stuff. And more good stuff right now. Earl Klugh and Bob James. Every once in a while, we have to play this just because. From 1979's One on One, this is Carrie on Hybrid Jazz. This is Hybrid Jazz.
Though your heart is aching, smile even though it's breaking. When there are clouds in the sky, you'll get by. If you smile with your fear and sorrow, smile and maybe tomorrow you'll find that life is still worthwhile. If you just light up your face with gladness, hide every trace of sadness. Although a tear may be ever so near, that's the time you must keep on trying. Smile, what's the use of crying? You'll find that life is still worthwhile if you just
said on this show, but the only problem with that song is it's not long enough. But what it lacks in length, it makes up for in content. Do you know who just did that harmonica? George Duke. Yes, sir. Produced the CD, and what a CD it is. Jeffrey Osborne's A Time for Love. With the A-Team on that song, you know, it's just so cool when Jeffrey and George get together because they always have some creative ideas. They've been doing this since the 80s, so they kind of finish each other's sentences. But George did this, as Jeffrey says, bossa nova kind of thing. It starts off with an acoustic guitar, and there's a harmonica at the entrance of the song. He's still talking. The song actually does make me smile, especially when that harmonica solo comes on. On the guitar, Paul Jackson Jr., Lenny Castro on percussion, Little John on drums, Christian McBride on upright bass, George handling anything that moves or doesn't with keys, and Jeffrey doing his thing, which is always so sublime. You know, a couple of people have been in a discussion with me and were quite surprised to learn that Jeffrey really returned to his jazz roots with this CD, because if you didn't know, Jeffrey's dad was the great Clarence Legs Osborne. Yes, who was a trumpeter with Lionel Hampton, Count Basie, Duke Ellington. And here's Jeffrey in his household in Providence, Rhode Island, the youngest of 12 kids. Hearing all this jazz in the house from when he was a tiny little guy. And Dad, we didn't talk about this when Jeffrey was on the show some months ago, but Dad passed away when Jeffrey was 13. So it makes sense because there's an added measure of a wistfulness in Jeffrey Osborne's voice, and I can't help but think that's the reason why. Jeffrey's going to be in Philly on August 15th. He's going to be doing his golf tournament in Providence coming up in the month of August. So jeffreyosborne.com has the information. And don't be dissuaded when you get to the website because it doesn't necessarily look like it's updated. But if you go to the schedule, it is. So I'm proud of you, Jeffrey. I know you're doing all you can with Twitter and Facebook. But get that website updated so we don't see 2009 information on the front page. All right. Carl Filipiak, 2 p.m., the name of the song from Right on Time, from 1993. Guitar legend in Baltimore circles, composer, instructor, doing fusion long before it was called that. A jazz rock god. Honest goodness. There's no way I can overemphasize that. With Dennis Chambers, also legendary in these circles and beyond, the drummer for Santana, playing with Carl, his good friend, Paul Soroka on there, Bob Berg on sax, George Gray in the mix, and Carl Filipiak, Filipiak.com has information. He has been with us on the show. Great guest. Solid personality. Oh, my God. I was thinking how much I miss him, and it would be so great to have him on again. So we'll do that. At the Detour Winery Weekend Jazz Festival coming up. Detour, Maryland. Never been there. Sounds fancy. So we'll keep you apprised of that. Usually he's playing at the Cat's Eye, or he's playing with Lafayette Gilchrist, just the descendant in many circles of Thelonious Monk. And when those two get together, when it's straight-ahead jazz, and then here comes Carl, oof, lethal. Errol Clue, Bob James, one-on-one, and Carrie, the name of the song, one of those songs that if you've never heard it, it could take your breath away, and then when you do hear it, it's in your soul forever. 1979. Just so you know, one of those things today, Earl's new CD, Handpicked, is out in stores with Vince Gill, Bill Frisell, and Jake Shimabukuro, who's with him at the Blue Note in New York City today, the start of a week-long run, I think, for Earl. Oh, my. Just an auspicious day to play that song. Handpicked is getting really rave reviews because it's basically Mr. Clue on that guitar with guests and his favorite songs, including, if you go to the website, his take on Alfie. A lot of people say that's one of their favorite songs, me included. Bob James, on the other hand, doing his thing, a real cool date coming up with David Sanborn because of Quartet Humane, their CD. Steve Gadd will join them at the Hyatt Regency in Newport Beach, California, on the 23rd of August, just so you know. Yeah, got that handled. All information that you should know about each of those acts. Don't forget, Steve Cole coming with us. Well, we'd like to have him come with us, but he's going to be coming to the area not once, not twice, but with the extended region three times. At Bethesda, Maryland, Annapolis, Maryland, in Rehoboth in August, and then coming back for the Jazz Festival in October. He's going to be talking about all of that and his new CD on the way. Someone else, a buddy of Steve's who has a new CD, We just had him on the show not that long ago, but you did not hear that day this track with Marc Antoine. In the Rain, Brian Simpson from Just What You Need. Let's Not Go There. On Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Thank you.
Hybrid Jazz. That the last time I played Debbie Poole on Hybrid Jazz, she was a single lady, and now she's married. Oh, Debbie! It's so surreal in some ways, because if you've known somebody for a while and they change status like that, it takes a while to sink in. But I know it has to sink in because I was there. There was a handful of people when Debbie Poole married our Matt Williams a couple of weeks ago now. Tracy Hamlin and I were there in the courthouse in Columbia, and a small coalition of family and a couple of friends. And bang, zoom, there it was. I've been waiting for the pictures because they have to get approval from Matt and Debbie before I post them. Honestly, because if Debbie doesn't like the way she looks, she will say, no, that has to come down. And I completely understand. I Am Here For You, one of those songs on Debbie's In the Midst of Love that just captivates your attention because the sentiment is so cool. You don't usually hear a song like that. It's akin, honestly, to Anthony Jefferson's song that we played last time, Thank You. Just a way of being respectful. Maybe there's a love relationship there. Maybe there's a deep friendship. But in any case, you are looking at somebody as an equal who you really do love, maybe unconditionally. And the respect factor is just so high. Debbie's voice just conveys so much, too. If you want to find more out about Debbie Poole, you go to Debbie-Poole, P-O-O-L-E.com, and find out. She's just beautiful inside and out, and it's just really wonderful to see she and Matt so happy. God bless. Now, see, if he was here in the chat room, he'd be crying by now. Oh, I love him. I love them both. Sonny Rollins. Woohoo! Always a pleasure to play Sonny Rollins. But I have to tell you something. Hold on for that. Some Enchanted Evening. Yes, the song from South Pacific. You heard right there in a trio performance with Christian McBride on bass and Roy Haynes on drums. Oh, my God, from 2007. And actually, Roadshows Volume 1 was released in 2008. Just a beautiful mix of music. Essential Sonny Rollins listening, by the way. Music actually from the archives from like 1980 onward, and there was a Roadshows Volume 2, etc. I heard from Sonny's assistant that he has not been feeling well. We have been talking ongoing for a while now about Sonny being on Hybrid Jazz, which would be wonderful. He and I corresponded a little bit last year, but Facebook got to be too much for him, so he opted out and was doing a few dates, but he had to cancel those dates. So please keep Sonny Rollins in your prayers, because I don't know how he's feeling this present day, but it sure would be nice for us to have him around a few more years. Some of us know that when we have elderly loved ones around us, they don't necessarily share the feelings that we do about wanting to be around. My mom was ready to go for a number of years, and she finally passed when she was 98. So it's selfish on one hand that we should say, oh, we hope that they live a long time. I hope that Sonny feels well enough where he wants to stick with us. So just temper your prayers in that regard. Maybe that's the best thing I can say. Let us turn our attention to, and I was wondering what I was going to play next, because this next song set is cool. It's about that fragility life situation that we were discussing before. Maybe this would be good. Michael Bowie's group. Michael was on the show not that long ago. Sine qua non, which essentially means the absolute indispensable or essential ingredient in a mix in order to make the project succeed. That is true. Got some great guys with him on this. And, you know what? I forgot to mention Brian Simpson. Just so you know, he's got a date with Jeff Kashua coming up at Yoshi's. And bsimpsonmusic.com has more information. The track that you heard, In the Rain, from Just What You Need, Brian Simpson. Sine qua non. The track is called Beautiful Land / Kumba on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy, with Steve Cole coming up in less than an hour's time. Stick with us. Thank you.
Supreme.
Back in the old Philly days, if Hylett and Joe Niagara, disc jockeys on WIBG, would have heard that song, they both would have said, come on, North Philly, come on, South Philly, we got a stack of hot hits. Woo, Chestnut Brothers spent a lot of time in Philadelphia, and every time, no matter what song I hear by these two, Al and Ty, it just catapults me back to Philadelphia in the great days of radio when they were turning out stuff like this. That, traveling on, two mixes on the EP called Peace Suite. What it is a socially conscious project. And it really does address, this is the third time this is being mentioned, the fragility of time. And I say that because there's really some sweet, and sweet doesn't mean lightweight, powerfully sweet. Brotherly Love is one of the songs on this. Stop the Violence is on this. This is from 2006. So the words ring true now as they did then, maybe even truer. But you just have to pick up chestnutbrothers.com, the website first, and you can get Peace Suite from that. Looks like Beach, looks like Yolanda, and Griselda all needed to hear that song in the chat room. Julie has joined us. A few others that wish to be anonymous, that's okay. Mary Swoyer, my friend from high school days, Bishop McDevitt, Winco, PA, listening in today. And my Art Mosley, listening today too. God bless you all. I love it. Woo! Just enjoyable stuff here. We heard Hiroshima, Thousand Cranes. There's a few interpretations of that the band has done through the years. My God, anytime they want to do it, it's going to be fine. This one from Departure that was out last year, which really did mark a departure from them because they wanted to move into a different kind of direction, still keeping that sound from Sensei Dan Kuramoto and the amazing Gene Kuramoto on Koto. June. Did I say June or Gene? I'm thinking of Gene from the Wolverine the other day. Please go see that picture. It's really mind-blowing, and I'm thinking of a lot that's Japanese because that movie had two strong young female leads along with Hugh Jackman, and I am just so caught up in the imagery and the dynamic of Japan because a lot of it was shot there. And probably I'll say June and Gene alternatively in the next several days. Just so you know, Hiroshima is going to be doing a holiday show at Spaghettini's. Just so you know, my bride and Julie, so you can plan ahead in December. Both of those friends are going to go see Daryl Walker when he plays at Spags this week for his sold-out show. Congratulations, Daryl, once again. That's awesome. Back to Hiroshima, and you can go to HiroshimaMusic.com. That's the only way to find them. They will be at Sunset Jazz coming up with Eric Benet, Brian Culbertson, and Rochelle Farrell. And also Catalina Jazz. Lovely, lovely places to go see them. And we heard, too, from the CD Simple Pleasures, Sine Qua Non, that is Michael Bowie's group, consummate bass player in our extended D.C. area, along with Mark Prince, Lyle Link, Victor Provost, and Sam Turner, some of the most awesome musicians that you will ever get to see live. If you get a chance to see this band, and we're trying to hook up Michael so he can expand the group to travel outside of this region because it's mind-blowing. You have basically a semblance of artists who know jazz inside and out, and then they marry that to European classical sensibilities. You throw in some African and Caribbean and Latin vibes, and you get a sound that's like no other. It's very, very exciting, and I can't say enough about what Michael is trying to do to expand the musical horizons of people in this mid-Atlantic region. So, Michael, I love you, and I think that you know it. That's awesome. Steve Cole, we love too. We love Steve Cole, especially loving him more because we've got two brand new songs. I'm not sure who's been out playing these songs. It may be the first time. I'm not sure. We'll ask Steve when he comes by in less than 30 minutes now, so get ready. Yeah, he's on the road. We got him in the nick of time because he's going to be off and running with Nick Corleone, etc., on the road and a few times in this region and then twice in Rehoboth Beach in 2 months. Very exciting. A new CD that's going to drop not in August, in September. So it's very cool to have these tracks. In the meantime, Matthew Shell, our good friend, has a brand new album out. It's called Victorious. On it, Matthew, along with Arun Shenoy from Singapore. Beautiful song. You've heard this. It's called Genesis on Hybrid Jazz. An ear feast. Thank you. This is Hybrid Jazz.
In your heart, you know it's plain to see, like Adam was to Eve, you were made for me. You say the poison vine, breathe the fine wine, our love is easy. Me plainly, I would gladly say I'd like to have you round just for them rainy days. I like the touch of your hand, the way you make no demands. Our love is easy. Our love is easy. Like water rushing over stone. Oh, our love is easy, like no love I've ever known. Physically speaking, we were made to last. Examine all the pieces of our recent past. There's your mouth I taste, your hands around my waist. Our love is easy. Every time we meet, it's like the first kiss, never growing tired of this endlessness. It's a simple thing. We don't need a ring. Our love is easy. Our love is easy. Like water rushing over stone. Oh, our love is easy, like no love I've ever known. Deep within your heart, you know it's plain to see, like Adam was to Eve, you were made for me. They say the poison mine breathes the final one.
Well, look, had to play that song by Melody Gardot, and here's why. Now, you think that I'm silly when I tell you this. It's okay. I'm obsessed with The Bachelorette this season and Desiree and Brooks, their story. It was not happy last night to watch, but hopefully it will have a happy ending. Somebody has put together a montage of the different parts of their relationship during the TV show to the song of Our Love is Easy that you just heard right there by Melody Gardot. I'm not sure if Melody knows, but she'd get a kick out of that. 28 years old, this girl has lived 9 lives. Back in 2003, in case you didn't know about Melody, Philly girl, she was bicycling in Philadelphia, and she was hit by someone in a vehicle. And she had head and spinal injuries. Her pelvis was broken in 2 places. It took a long time for her to heal. So what did she do? She made sure she immersed herself in music. And she came out of that a changed person, a butterfly. Had no intention, of course, before the accident of going this particular route in the musical immersion, but this is part of the magic of what happens sometimes when you hold on to whatever it is that you need to hold on to while you go through agony, which she still does because she's in pain some of the time still. But that's what happens. That was a magical performance from my one and only Thrill a couple years ago. She has a new one out from last year, The Absence. She's on Verve Records, and if you get a chance, if you want to hear more of that, MelodyGardot.com. Terrence Blanchard we heard from, my God, a Kendrick Scott song on drums. Kendrick, of course, with us a few months ago, from Magnetic. The song was called No Borders, Just Horizons. Terrence said, what you keep in your mind is what you draw to yourself, hence Magnetic. Beautiful songs. Kendrick, Bryce Wilson on sax, Joshua Crumbly, 21, bass prodigy, Fabian Amazon on piano, and Terrence is going to be in a lot of different places, already has been in support of the CD, Boston, Newport Jazz Festival, coming to D.C., also on Magnetic, Ron Carter, Robbie Coltrane, Lionel Lukey. So you know it's worth your while. Just as an aside here, Terrence has been involved in a project, his first opera in St. Louis, about the great fighter Emil Griffith, who just passed away a few days ago on the 23rd. So Terrence is busy, and we love it that way. Matthew Shell, Arun Shenoy, Genesis from Victorious. On that particular CD, by the way, production numbers with Marcus Johnson, Greg Adams, Paul Jackson Jr. It's an eclectic album. So if you are of a mind to, MTS Music is where you need to go. Matthew and Arun have been on the show. You know that. I'm going to play 2 songs. One of them is Amanda Brecker. And we're going to slide right into Steve Cole, who will be with us very shortly. But I thought it would be a cool motif to play these 2 side by side. From Amanda's Blossom, this is You've Got a Friend on Hybrid Jazz.
When you're down in trouble, and you need some love and care, and nothing is going right.
see that worked out, that we had a little time to do that. It would, it sometimes it just strikes you that you want to hear certain songs together. And I've been thinking about Amanda Brecker and how she is the daughter of two legends, Eliana Elias and Randy Brecker. And she's getting herself involved with all sorts of musical projects and living her young, wonderful life. And she has this great love for Carole King and James Taylor. So You've Got a Friend by Amanda from Blossom seems to fit right into a song that Steve Cole did with such tenderness. You Can Close Your Eyes. Whew, from Moonlight. And here he is, ladies and gentlemen. This was so wonderful how this all got together. And we talked a long time ago on Cool Jazz Conversations when I was doing the show. But now I have a chance to do another one-to-one on the precipice of Steve getting involved in some really cool activities on the road and a new project on the way. This is the consummate saxophonist, one of the most popular names in contemporary jazz, and a professor, don't you know? Steve Cole, thanks for joining me.
I was wondering if I joined, if I called the right number after that intro. Jeez.
No. Look, I could have gone on, but I don't want to embarrass you too much because we only have so much time.
How you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. I'm fantastic.
Are you resting up for this this big spurt of activity that you're about to launch into?
Yeah, it's about to get pretty busy, huh?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm leaving town tomorrow to go to San Francisco in advance of my show at Yoshi's in San Francisco on August 1st. So I'm
wow.
Yeah, I've got a couple more hours of just kind of, you know, chilling for a while, and then it gets kind of crazy.
Well, I appreciate you so much that you're chilling with me, because I thought, oh, my God, he's really going to do the show just before this. And I'm thinking, all right, should I advise him to take his Wheaties or his one-a-day vitamins, whatever he needs to do, because you are going to be in the Mid-Atlantic region not once but twice, and then you're going to be in Rehoboth Beach two times in 2 months. That's fabulous.
Yeah. Go figure, huh?
Yes.
I didn't know I was so popular in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, but apparently.
You really are. And then your ears were probably burning the other night because I went to see my friend Tracy Hamlin at Bethesda Blues and Jazz. And the manager of BB&J loves you so much and is so excited that you are coming to the venue.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, we're going to be there when? I think on the 11th of August.
Yes. And then it's really interesting because the reason that it sparked a nerve for me to contact you is because I was at Ram's Head 2 weeks ago, and there you are with Nicole Leone. What is going on? You're everywhere.
You can't escape me.
You know
coming
what?
Soon to a town near you.
We honestly talked about this the other day. We were kidding, a few of us. It's Steve Cole all the time.
One can only hope, right?
That's great, though, because this is going to be really exciting that you're with Nick on some of these dates, and then you're going to be talking about and hopefully playing some of the tracks for the forthcoming CD.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting because, you know, the record's not out yet. It comes out sometime in September, I think.
Yeah.
So I think Yoshi's will be the debut of some of this music. So we should probably have it right by the time we get to, you know, to your neck of the woods.
Oh, there's no doubt. You know, it's an interesting vibe with you and Nick. On paper, people could look at that and go, huh, that's fascinating. But honest to gosh, you and Nick are so alike, maybe in ways that you might not necessarily understand. And I think that Nick probably respects you in so many different kinds of ways than he could with other people that he performs with. It must be, and I can't wait to see this, Steve, that you bring out something really special in each other, don't you?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it goes both ways, and I love Nick. I have a lot of respect for him as a player and as a performer, and, you know, we're from the same hometown, and, you know, we kind of came up around the same time doing the same types of things that you got to do in order to kind of, you know, get a little bit further out than your backyard, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, all those clubs in Chicago, we, you know, we're kind of in the trenches together, and, you know, we both were kind of, you know, thinking about, you know, maybe there's something, you know, a little broader for us than, you know, just, you know, playing up and down Halstead. we have a really kind of similar musical backgrounds and, you know, share a lot of the same friends. And, you know, so it's really, you know, it's like, you know, running around the country with a good friend. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, I'll bet it is. And speaking of your neck of the woods, one of my good friends is also friendly with you, Jonathan Widdrin. And,
oh, sure, yeah. We grew up in the same town.
Yes, Skokie, Illinois.
Yeah, we grew up like down the street from each other. I didn't even know it.
Well, he wanted me to say hello to his Miss Buka today.
it's Miss Buka. Like,
Miss Buka.
Like, right.
And look, seriously, I told him I was going to say this to you. I just found out in the past, like, a few years that my great-grandmother was Ava Shainstein, who was part of the Ashkenazi Jewish tribe.
Oh, my goodness.
So I really do need to know how to pronounce Mishpuka. because this is a whole new world. Look, we grew up in a family. None of my Catholic friends could understand why we had matzah and hamantash at certain times during the year. So crazy, Steve. I know. So
wow.
Jonathan and I kid about that all the time. I'm so excited for you. And look, as long as we're talking about, you know, Yoshi's and debuting the new stuff, is it really true that I've got a couple of tracks from Pulse? Am I going to be among the first to play these?
Pretty much, yeah. No one's really starting to play that stuff until probably a week from now. So, yeah. Don't tell anybody.
Oh, my God. I didn't even
I don't know. I don't know how you came across those, but, you know, since you have them, you know, what the hell?
Steve, I don't know either, and I don't know what you're talking about.
Neither do I.
Tell me about Pulse, because this is pretty dadgum exciting.
I'm glad to hear that. This record is, you know, they talk about it kind of coming full circle. And, you know, for me, you know, in 98, I made my first record called Stay a While. And, you know, since then, you know, it's one of those things. You make records and you try to take, at least I do, I try to take little left turns here and there just to kind of keep things interesting. And, you know, it's really an effort not to keep on making the same record. So, you know, from Between Us to NYLA and then Spin, which is kind of left, and then Moonlight, which was another left turn.
Sure is.
You know, you learn a lot. You learn a lot about, like, where you are and what you're doing by experimenting with different type of musical styles and things like that. And, you know, for me, Pulse is kind of like, all right, you know, I've done a lot of different things. I mean, a lot of different kind of records. But, you know, where I really kind of live is in that kind of space where kind of jazz meets R&B, meets soul music, meets the blues. And, you know, I really wanted to kind of, you know, put a record together that really, you know, really speaks to that. So, you know, Pulse is a record that was written without a whole lot of, you know, preconceived notions about what records should sound like. it was really kind of, you know, what do we want the record to sound like, as opposed to, you know, other things that come into your mind after you learn a little bit about this business, about, you know, should it be this, should it be that, should it be, you know, up, should it be down, should it be with an orchestra, should it be with guitars? I mean, you know, all that stuff you start to think about. And then after a while, you say to yourself, you know, I'm just going to make the music that comes naturally without thinking about anything other than, you know, do I like it?
Right.
So,
yeah.
You know, that's what this record really was. And the funny thing is that, you know, when I listen to it, it's kind of like the only other time that I've made a record like with that kind of, you know, mindset was my very first one, because I didn't know anything. You know, I didn't know what it should sound like. I didn't know what radio was going to like, or I didn't care. I mean, I didn't know anything. I was a kid. And that's kind of how this record was made. It was just like, you know, I like these sounds. I like this kind of music, and I'm just going to, you know, make a record that sounds like music I want to play. You know.
Well, yeah, because look, if an artist doesn't do things in an organic way, what you're describing is just that. You really basically want to be able to enjoy what it is that you compose or you play on disc so that you can be in front of people and have a ball playing it. If you're not comfortable with what it is, why even bother?
Yeah, I mean, you know, certain things you do because you want to stretch, you want to grow, and it's all necessary, you know. I mean, all that exploration is really necessary, because you got to try different things, and then you kind of zero in on, you know, what you're really about after you try a bunch of stuff. And so, you know, Pulse for me was kind of like, yeah, this is what I'm about.
Well, the cool thing about you, and you mentioned this with Nick, because you and Nick did this all the time in Chicago, a lot of people that are in the business haven't paid the kind of dues that you have. In case folks don't know, I mean, you were in those clubs playing pop and R&B and blues and bebop. You ran the gamut of straight-ahead jazz to contemporary jazz and everything that falls in those cracks. You definitely are a hybrid kind of cat, Steve. So,
you know, for me, it's like everybody who kind of grew up playing in Chicago is like that. I mean, that's the kind of city it is. And, you know, you're exposed to so much because, you know, there's some legitimate players there, man. And you know, once you kind of fall into that little circle, you know, you find that, you know, everyone's playing gospel and everyone's playing, R&B gigs, and everybody's playing jazz gigs, and everybody's playing blues gigs. So it was like, it was really natural. But, you know, yeah, dues were paid, absolutely. I mean, I could speak, you know, for Nick as well on this point. I mean, we didn't decide one day, hey, man, I want to make a record and go out and tour. You know, it wasn't like that. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, the first thing was, you know, I wanna you know, be able to play a club where people come and hear music, you know, and that was hard enough to kind of get into that circle and be able to even do like decent club dates with other artists or other players, you know, and then you're like, wow, man, you know, it'd be really cool if I could like do a night of my own, you know, but you know, God forbid you should play original music, people want to hear covers, so then you're playing covers, and then maybe you build up a little bit of a following in your hometown where people will tolerate your original music. And we're talking about doing, you know, clubs like 5-6 nights a week, you know, from 9 p.m. to 3 a.m. I mean, it, you know, and then going on the road with blues bands and, you know, playing all kinds of different places, doing all kinds of gigs. And that was years and years and years. And I did my first gig when I was 12, you know.
Oh, my
dad put
God,
me in a band.
Really?
Yeah, my dad put me on the bandstand. He's like, all right, man, join the family business, kid. Here's how it goes, you know. And, you know, so, you know, from 12 years old to, you know, whatever year that was, you know, to, you know, 25 years later, maybe, or 20 years later when I, you know, actually got a record deal. I mean, yeah, you know, we didn't just kind of put something out on the internet and say, hey, I'm a recording artist, now give me a gig, you know. Not that,
that's,
you know,
right.
That's very common, but yeah. And, you know, So, you know, and, you know, I did that, Nick did that, Jeff Koshua did that, you just name it, you run down the list. You know, even guys like David Sanborn, man, I mean, that guy, you know, talk about grinding it out. With that dream of you know, one day, wouldn't it be cool if someone actually, you know, gave a crap about, you know, about me, you know, and my music and, you know, all the things you have to do to get there. It's a long road, and, you know, but you know what, when you do that and then, you know, you get to some semblance of that position that you were thinking about or dreaming about, it's much more important to you, you know. Because you can look back and say, you know, look at all the crap I did, you know, to get here. and then you're like, okay, where's here?
Yeah. You probably want to have one of those maps on the wall sometimes that they have in the malls that indicate you are here. Man,
yeah, really,
and see.
The other day I went to the airport, and I walked up to the ticket counter, and she asked me where I was going. And I actually had to check my calendar to see, oh, I know where I'm going today. I know I'm going somewhere. But it just dawned on me exactly where that is just now.
And see, that's, man, that's a high, though, to think about that, Steve, because you will be, hopefully, these days we have to say hopefully because we want everybody that we care about to live a long time. And someday you'll be an old man thinking about these dizzying times where you didn't know where the heck you were going.
Yeah. Of course, that old man's going to have the same problem for different reasons.
That's a point. Yeah. Oh. And see, the cool thing about look in the mirror. Who is that man?
I don't remember.
The cool thing.
So old.
Oh, you're going to be always handsome. Can I just say, you're always going to be handsome. So there.
Like my mother said, your mouth to God's ears.
Yes. You might have a little gray here and there, but just because you'll have snow on the roof doesn't mean you'll have no fuel in the furnace. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay, good deal.
But listen, the cool thing about you is that you are a breed apart from a lot, and this is why I appreciate your music so much, Steve. I mean, here you are. You, at a young age, a winner of the Chicago Symphony Orchestra Young Artist Competition, you're classically trained. You have also been immersed in these different kinds of other genres. So when you come to a situation where you're turning out a project that's musical, all of that comes back to you. All of the road experience comes back to you. So your music always sounds fresh.
Well, that's nice of you to say. I mean, you know, you never realize how much you draw upon your background. A lot of times you do it kind of subconsciously. But I am very grateful that it's there. I mean, I'm very grateful that, you know, my parents were very supportive when I was young and allowed me to focus on music and allowed me to, you know, spend my time developing those different skills. Now, you know, every musician will say that, you know, you know, I wish I would have this, I wish I would have that, I wish I would have spent more time doing, you know, one thing or another. And, you know, the great thing about music is you're always growing, too, so there's always more to learn. And, you know, there's always, you could always be better. But having that background is just, you know, and the diversity and the kind of work ethic, you know, from, you know, years and years and years and years ago, it allows you. I mean, really, you know, what I tell, you know, students all the time is that, you know, your background and the training that you have and the dedication you put in, you know, it's gonna inevitably allow you to enjoy playing music without having to think as much. You know, that there are things that you develop that come naturally to you, so you can focus on performing and focusing on making good music, and not worry so much about, you know, technique and notes and, you know, I think this but I can't play it and all that kind of stuff. So it's just, you know, one of those things that, that, you know, that's where it starts to pay off, you know, where you can kind of just, you know, put that into the, you know, second nature category and, you know, concentrate on musicality.
That's a beautiful thing, because, you know, we talk about this all the time on the show and in private discussions whenever there's a situation where musicians and other folks can gather after shows. You know, you strive for a technique because it's important for artists who consider themselves to be such to be proficient and to keep growing as an artist. But there are some who dwell on the technique as opposed to the heart and soul of the music that they're delivering. You have to have that balance, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, one kind of, you know, supports the other and vice versa. You know, I mean, there are some absolute acrobats on their instrument, and it's amazing to listen to. But what's really compelling is when artists have the technique and they have the background, but they also are able to kind of translate that into something meaningful, and that's really the goal.
Yes. Oh, yes. This is just goes without saying at this point. There's healing in music. So it's almost as though somebody who is a musician, whatever kind of spirituality they have, it doesn't really matter. But when you know that you're in tune with the universe when you're playing, I mean, you have been in situations, Steve, where you're standing in front of people and you're playing a song and that person is out of that venue that night having been changed. They feel better about themselves, or they can go to work the next day and actually enjoy it because something triggered an emotion in them. You probably hear that all the time, don't you?
Well, you know, I don't know if I hear it all the time. I'd like to hear it all the time, but but you know that, you know, that's you know that's all, you know, that kind of, I guess there, you know, if you can't dwell on it because then you just get preoccupied by it and you'll be all freaked out. But, you know, I think the thing that really kind of makes it all worthwhile and keeps us in the game is, you know, that component of social change that, you know, kind of accompanies music, that kind of coming together of people of you know, speaking to them, making them think maybe a little bit differently for a minute, giving them an escape, you know, it's all part of it. And, you know,
yeah.
I don't think any of us really, you know, lose sight of that when we're performing. It's wonderful to hear. It's also, it's very, you know, flattering and very kind of, you know, there's a lot of gravity to that when someone tells you that your music has done something to them or made them feel a certain way or maybe given them a little bit of a reprieve from, you know, something they're going through. And it's, you know, that's one of the great kind of, you know, bonuses of doing this. It's not all about, I mean, I always find that, you know, when I make things about me, they're not as fun. When I make things about others, they become more meaningful and a whole lot more fun to do. So, you know, I'm kind of that school. You know, music for me is something to be shared. It's something that's, you know, not about me. It's, you know, I'm involved in it and I get a lot of gratification from it. But in the end, you know, we're entertainers. We're there to, you know, make people feel good. So, and I'm very glad that, you know, on occasion, you know, people have mentioned that, you know, I've been successful in doing that. So that's, you know, that's even better.
And what would you do if you didn't have the opportunity to play for people? Do you ever think about that? I mean, I know that you've got your other life, and my gosh, you've got an MBA in economics. So would
yeah.
you be a teacher?
I am a teacher. You know, I think that, you know, and the thing, one of the things I love about teaching is that I get so much of the same, you know, sensations and experiences from teaching as I do from performing. Because it's really, again, you know, if you're doing it right, it's a pretty selfless act, you know. There's an accountability to it. It's if you make it more about, you know, your students than about yourself, everybody wins. so, you know, teaching was a really natural, kind of other career for me that I'm thankfully able to do kind of concurrently with, you know, being a recording artist. And I think if I couldn't do those things, if I couldn't do those things, I'd just cook food for people. because it's the same thing. There are so many different vocations that have so many different, so many similarities to performing. Teaching, very much so, very well articulated, same type of concept. Cooking's the same thing. I mean, what does cooking do? It fortifies people, makes them feel good. It makes them, it brings people together. And it's the same type of elements that go into it that go into music. It's passion, it's creativity, it's innovation, it's experimentation, So, probably that's why, when I'm not teaching, I'm playing. When I'm not doing either one of those, I'm, cooking. I don't cook as well as I do either of the other two.
Interesting. This is a different sort of side than I would have expected. I call myself on Twitter Radio Geisha, but you have a servant's heart. You really do.
Hey, several thousand years in the desert, and what are you going to do?
Okay, that is a very good answer.
I think that, and maybe you learn this, as you live a few more years, but, for me, more of what makes me happy is what I can do for the people around me that I care about. And whether that's, in a musical sense where it's people in the room or people who are, kind enough to, part with their time and money to either, purchase a recording or come to a show, people around my dinner table, people in my classroom, people in my family. It's, what I've really learned is that I'm happiest when I am, as you said, when I'm serving people. Some could say that that's, egoistic in and of itself, because even if you're, giving, you're still kind of getting something back. But I would prefer to be paid back through the appreciation of others than from taking. You know what I'm saying? Maybe that's a, some kind of, philosophical switch that changes in your brain, when you cross a certain divide. But, when I focus on that with my music, with performance, with teaching, with anything, I tend to, it's much more fulfilling to be around.
That's really heartfelt, and I'm smiling as I'm listening to you, because your birthday is coming up on the 17th. So
When
you say crossing that line, I'm not sure what line you're crossing, but it's good to be able to articulate these things before you celebrate another year, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm going to be 26, and it's going to be a real weird thing, man.
Yeah. Man, you've
like,
done
you know,
a lot.
I've been able to drink for 5 whole years legally. It's going to be rough, look in the mirror and, Yeah, right.
Yeah, I hear you. I want to be able to play a song. So you have a little time. How much time do you have with me?
Yeah, I got some time.
Okay, that's awesome. I wanted to do Your Thing from Pulse, if that's
cool. Oh, good. I like that song.
Oh, yeah. We've got a lot of people in the chat room. Julie Gonzalez is here, and Yolanda and Griselda, and guests coming and going back and forth, so they're hanging on to your every word.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, no pressure.
None at all. Well,
okay.
This song is yet another kind of little tip of the hat to one of my favorite artists, and also someone who's had a great career coming out of the city of Chicago, named Curtis Mayfield. I wrote a song on my True album called Curtis, and this is just another little nod to Curtis Mayfield. This Do Your Thing.
Oh, we sure loved Curtis Mayfield in Philly when we were coming up, so I feel you. Steve Cole on Hybrid Jazz, and this is Do Your Thing from the forthcoming Pulse. Music in Chicago, but let me tell you something. That's New Jersey boardwalk music right there. That's what that is.
Whoever wants to claim it, you have my blessing.
Cool. Man, that is some sort of groove-o-phonic delicious sound. I cannot wait to hear Every
wow,
bloody
you just,
track.
You just made my next record, Groovalicious. What was that again?
Groovophonic Delicious.
As my good friend Jerry Johnson, who happens to be listening, would say, I used to play in that band.
Yeah, right. Oh, my God. Yeah, I have friends like that, too. Seriously, you know what? This is a real treat. You go to Amazon.com and you can hear the snippets of tracks from Steve's Pulse CD coming up in September. So I was going, every time I heard a snippet and it would end, I would go, damn.
Yeah, see? Need
yes.
more, right?
Yes, and people are just going to eat this up because, I mean, it's like everything that you love to do all in one Steve Cole project. It's a beautiful thing.
Mm. My goodness. That's
yeah.
great.
All right, maybe not everything, but a lot of the musical
stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I'm really excited for you. And that's a big thing to say because you just imagine that there are new scenarios that are going to unfold. Do you feel like this is – do you feel like everything is aligning to make this a new foothold for you? Because that's the way I feel about you.
I don't know. it's hard to say. I mean, every record you put out, every new project, you have this, you know, kind of renewed sense of excitement, and you think, you know, this is the one, you know. And, you know, I guess with this, I kind of stopped putting such high expectations. I mean, I think that's part of, you know, maybe why the record came out the way it did. You know, I'm really proud of this record because I don't have any expectations for it. You know, other than, you know, this is the music that I love to play. This is the music I hear in my head. I'm really, really fortunate that I'm able to, you know, get on the road and perform. But, you know, if people love it, I'm thrilled. I mean, that's going to be that's job one, right? But you know, I don't have any you know expectations of it. I just, you know, it's there, it exists. I hope everyone loves it. I sure do, you know. But you know, the minute you're like, oh man, this is it, man, all the planets are aligning, and this is you know, all that. Then I don't know. I'm just kind of chilling. You know, I feel great about it, and I just, you know, I hope people like it. That's it.
Well, it's different to ask you. I mean, because you are a professor, and you've got your one life doing that, and it's an everyday habitual kind of situation. It's not like I'm asking somebody who's just starting out in a music career, but at this particular juncture of your journey, and some of us have been following you for a long time, it
yeah.
just seems like, and I'll say this right out, and let the chips fall where they may as far as the statement is concerned, but
okay.
you are a cut above what I perceive to be in quotes, a smooth jazz artist. You are a whole lot more than that.
Well,
so,
you have really low standards. and that's what I dig about you. That's really sweet of you to say. I appreciate that.
And I'll tell people who are entrenched in that particular world, you are brave, and a lot of folks who are in that world are not. So when there's a new project coming out that has your name on it, my ears pick up immediately because it will always be great music.
Well, thank you. That's a huge compliment. I mean, you know, I guess all I can really say about that is, you know, I've always taken what I've done very seriously, and, you know, I do feel, you know, that there is, you know, some sort of or some semblance of accountability about it to, you know, to make good music to, you know, if people are going to come and hang out and listen to it, or they're going to, you know, purchase a recording, you know, it's kind of got to have some value to it, you know. I mean, so,
yes.
You know, I just do my best, you know. That's all, you know, that's it. I just do my best, you know. And I'm really flattered that you have such kind words about the process and about my career. And, you know, I'm going to just keep doing what I'm doing, you know.
Well, it because of your background and because you've learned from the best at a very early age, and because you paid attention to what was around you, and here's the pivotal thing, because you care so much about people, what you are going to do is never going to be less than buzzworthy, because it's too important to you. You just said it a little while ago. You don't try to overthink it because you'll go crazy. But
yes,
you do.
You
do. You do care a lot, and it shows in everything that you do, even with some of the pictures I've seen or some of the remarks that other people have made about you. Everybody knows that when you mention the name Steve Cole, seriously, this is on Facebook all the time, people, their first reaction is, oh God, he's one of my favorites. And
wow.
That's a big deal, yes.
That is a big deal, a super big deal.
It is. So go placidly into the distance, young man. And know
course, young man.
That it all will be well. I mean, gosh, you're going to have packed houses when you come to the Mid-Atlantic, that's for sure.
Oh, that'll be great, you know. And the cool thing about those shows is that they're in clubs, which are my favorite places to play. You know, I often, you know, say to the guys before going on stage, it's like, oh, great, you know, here we are. I'm outside, you know, it's 100 degrees. It's like saxophone's not meant to be played in 100-degree weather. I mean, come on, with wind blowing. I mean, have you ever looked at how the saxophone works? It doesn't work that way, you know? You know? And then there's the added bonus of getting on a really big stage and then having a, you know, spotlight operator, like, you know, shine a light right in your eye socket. And so all you see is just blackness. It's just, that's it. You see nobody. You can't really feel, you know, you can't feel the audience at all. So, you know, these shows that are coming up at Yoshi's and at Scholars in Boston and Ram's Head in Annapolis, and I'm going to be back in Chicago to do a show at the Montrose Room, and then back out to D.C. at the in Bethesda. I mean, those are all clubs, and those are, you know, that's home. That's where we all came up playing. You know, that's the comfort zone. And, you know, people are right up on you, and you can see them, and you can feel them, and, you know, you can look at the guy who's, you know, checking his iPhone while you're playing this really brilliant solo, and you wonder, what the hell am I doing wrong? But other than that, it's great.
Don't even think about that, because you know what? That is so maddening. Doesn't that drive you insane when you see that? Oh my God!
Well, you know, it's universal. I mean, everybody freaks out about that, and most of the time it means nothing. It just, you know, it just means that someone's checking their iPhone or like looking the other way. But, you know, I was even, you know, having, you know, conversation with, you know, one of the great saxophonists, and I'm not going to say his name because, you know, then you'll think he's neurotic like me. But he was saying the same thing, and after decades of playing all over the world, the, you know, the biggest venues and on television and all this stuff. He has the same thing. He's just like, yeah, you know, I always see that one guy. that one guy who's like yawning or something, you know, and that, you know, but, you know, that's, you know, you can't make anything of that, you know. That's usually the same guy that's
right.
Like, man, that was a great show, man, that was so much fun. So, whatever, but, you know, I like playing clubs. I like smaller venues. I like, you know, being able to, you know, see the people that are around, you know. It's a lot of fun.
You know, you raise a good point when you just said that, because there are people in the audience, they know that you're a live human being in front of them, but they perceive it as the same way that they're listening to the radio. They can see you, but surely you can't see them. So, I mean, they're scratching themselves, you know, they're picking places, you know, They think people aren't watching them, and they don't even think about that. If they yawn, they're not necessarily thinking, oh, geez, Steve just saw me yawn. Geez, I hope I didn't hurt his feelings.
Well, my calculator does that.
He what?
I know he's listening. Sorry, Jerry. I'm going to be on you this whole thing because I know you're listening to me.
Like, does he scratch himself on stage?
I don't know. I mean, my back's always to him. I only just hear what people say. So, you know, it's all good. You know, he's my boy. We go back a long way.
Oh, my God. Is he going to be with you in Bethesda and Annapolis?
Oh, no, he's fired. But, no, he's no. I go too far. No, I'm talking about one of the greatest guitar players to ever play the guitar. So, yeah, Jerry, my buddy Jerry, will be with me in Chicago, and he'll be with me in San Francisco, and he'll be with
wow.
me at Catalina Island. But, you know, this guy's really busy, you know. It's almost like... You know, who calls first? You know, he's playing with Peter White and Hughes Groove and Richard Elliott and blah, 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 blah. So, you know, when he's kind enough to take my calls, you know, and if he doesn't have a, you know, very heavy social calendar, you know, he may actually join me on stage and grace me with his presence.
Oh, that's hilarious. Well, I'm going to put a bookmark in that thought and not forget this conversation. Well, listen, could we play one more song? And I won't keep you any longer, but
sure.
Somebody gave me two songs, so I wanted to get to this one before the hour is up.
Cool.
Yeah. So With You All the Way is one of those song titles that's pretty captivating. You want to spill a little bit about what this is all about?
You know, this is actually a song title that has some meaning, which, you know, as opposed to many song titles for instrumental music that are kind of, you know, made up because the person from the record label is like, yeah, we need titles for these songs. But this one just speaks to kind of the people in my life, my family, who, you know, I can always rely on, who are always going to be there, and no matter which way I go, or left, right, sideways, up, down, you know, they're always there. So, and it's not a ballad, which is, you know, cool. It's not like sappy, but it's a song I wrote with, there's always room for that, but.
Of course.
I wrote this song with one of the finest musicians I've ever met. His name is David Mann, and he is a saxophone player, songwriter, producer, engineer, and all-around cool guy, and he lives in New York City. We've written a lot of music together over the years, and so this is our latest, called With You All the Way.
That's awesome, and I really appreciate it, Steve, that you took the time. I did not know how much time that you would have. And for you to do this is pretty awesome, because you should be packing, because in 2 days
yeah.
you are going to be in California.
Yes, I am.
So
yes, I forgot to be very busy and important today, so there we go.
That's wonderful. It's good to know that there is this much energy involved in who you are and what you bring on stage. And I can't wait to actually meet you in person. This is going to be awesome. So thank you.
I love that. Very cool. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, my intense pleasure. And whoever it was that sent me the songs, would you please do me a favor and thank them for me, or her, you know, whatever?
I will. I'll wait till the, you know, YouTube takedown notice comes out, and then I'll just, you know, find out who they were.
Oh, okay, great. I appreciate it. Thanks, Steve.
<Good deal.
laughs> We'll
take
see you
care.
Soon. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Steve Cole, and the forthcoming Pulse project is on the way in September. Cannot wait. Go to Amazon.com and hear those snippets, because you are going to be really thrilled. It's going to give you a buzz, and we all need the buzz these days, don't we? With You All the Way, Steve Cole.
Thank you.
Oh, my gracious. Isn't that nice? With you all the way, Steve Cole, right there. My gosh, we have time to play the outro music, too. Woohoo! Steve Cole. Well, let me tell you something. I want to be able to give you the place you need to go to find out all the information about where he's going to be. So this is a little different. His website is artistecard.com/Steve Cole. If you have Google, you just put Steve Cole in, it will take you there pretty much. Or if you find the Wikipedia, at the end of the Wikipedia, it will take you to the website. So it's got everything there. He's really good at keeping things up as far as updated paraphernalia. And some of the folks that we have played today are not real good at updating. I'm not mentioning any names. All right? Steve Cole is a live wire, is he not? So if you are in the region, you might want to check out Ram's Head in Annapolis, or you might want to check out Bethesda Blues and Jazz in Bethesda, Maryland. He's also going to be in Rehoboth in August, and then during the festival, which is the usual like second weekend or so of October. What a blast he was, and I thank whoever it was that sent the music. Oh, those two tunes were really good, weren't they? Thank you to everybody who was in the chat room today. Thank you, Julie, in between gardening. She was with us. Yolanda Bell, new to California. She, Yolanda had presented Steve with a particular gallery of photos, and I have to draw that to his attention when I see him live. Griselda was with us. BJ was with us. A whole lot of guests, Art and Mary, etc. Thank you so much, and we'll see you on Thursday with a surprise. Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. I can't tell you how much your support has meant. We'll see you on Thursday. Be safe. Be happy.